Good morning. Today is Tuesday, August 18th, 2026. Welcome to the Wake Up Call once again. My name is Matt LaRoy, and I'm honored to be with you this week. We'll be walking through the Gospel of Matthew together. And let's go ahead and begin our meeting with Jesus today, like we do every day, with our prayer of consecration. Let's pray this together. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Consider this. Jesus is a genius. And the Gospel of Matthew collects his most famous, controversial, groundbreaking teaching in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. This is the curriculum for authentic discipleship, a manifesto of life in the kingdom of God. It is the revolutionary vision of the upside-down, beautifully backwards way of Jesus. This is the future of love. I will confess that at times I have been intimidated by its radical edge, worried what it might demand of me, how it might critique my own status quo, and I doubt that I am alone in that. Yet, ironically, many in our culture who want nothing to do with Christianity as organized religion find the Sermon on the Mount to be fascinating. They are drawn to it. They find Jesus and his teachings to be compelling, and they are longing for us to live into this vision of Jesus. Recovering the Sermon on the Mount as a core defining curriculum for discipleship could reinvigorate our own faith while simultaneously building a bridge into our culture. While the Sermon on the Mount is the most famous collection of Jesus' teachings, it is actually just the first of five collections of teachings in Matthew's Gospel, known as the Great Discourses. This would remind the earliest audience of the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch or Books of Moses or Torah. These five books contain the instructions and sacred law of God's people and a compelling description of what it looks like to be God's covenant people in the world. In the same way, these five teachings of Jesus, with the Sermon on the Mount as the first in line, describe the culture and customs of God's kingdom people. Jesus begins his sermon with a shock to the system. The Beatitudes, which is a word drawn from the Latin word for blessed, are a countercultural picture of how God views the world. They name the strange priorities and currency of Jesus' people. This reminds me, when I read the Beatitudes, of the iconic images from the civil rights movement of the 1960s. I'm often deeply moved by them, and likely you are too. And just the mention of the idea probably brought several of them to your mind. In these pictures, you often see a column of armed authority figures, sometimes elevated and mounted on horseback. Opposite of them, you see lines of marchers, men, women, sometimes children, equipped with nothing but their dignity and signs that speak the truth. At first glance, it seems clear who holds all of the power in these images. But look again. Where is the power really? Which is the true show of strength? Who actually seems intimidated, threatened, and afraid? And who seems to embody an enduring kind of strength and unstoppable force? Those photos capture a cause that, in that time, seemed to have no hope of succeeding. Yet somehow, against all odds, they are showing us a vision of how things could be, should be, and will be. This is what the Beatitudes are like. They stand against the systems and critique the power structures of this world. Admittedly, they seem more poetic than practical. Taking these words at face value seems reckless at best, seems like a cause that has no hope of succeeding. Yet somehow, against all odds, the future belongs to those who will follow in the better, narrow way and awaken the imagination of those who can't see it yet. Jesus is inviting you to become a picture of the Beatitudes where you live, here and now. The sermon's introduction, though, is more than poetry. Many would have seen Jesus' words as inflammatory rhetoric against the oppressive Roman Empire who occupied and ruled over the region in this time. Some would have hoped that his talk of a kingdom meant he would lead a political uprising and overthrow the Roman government. And yet, on the heels of language about reversal of the status quo and upsetting the social order, Jesus announces what kind of weapons he is choosing for his revolution: salt and light. They're not dramatic images. They're not forceful. They are decidedly subtle and understated. There are far more catalytic forces, more flash and bang. But Jesus chooses these simple, everyday images to show that his is a grassroots people movement whose strength will be expressed on the ground in the everyday rhythms of life in every corner of every community. He takes the lofty ideals of the Beatitudes and immediately follows them with these grounded images of salt and light. He pairs a vision that the world has rarely witnessed with two elements that are so prevalent we hardly notice them until they are absent. Salt and light are so effective at provoking change, so frequently impacting us, that the effect has become commonplace. In the same way, the salt and light people of God are all around us already. Our neighbors, our family, our employees, our colleagues, students in classrooms, and the man sleeping on the sidewalk. Look for these agents of change at every table, flickers of love that shift the room, cities on a hill that cannot be hidden, as long as you have the eyes to see. Here's our closing prayer for today. Jesus, teach me what it really means to be blessed. Shape me into a compelling picture of your kingdom. Empower me to be salt and light today. Here are a couple of journal prompts for you to reflect on and respond to today. Which of the Beatitudes resonate most with you, and which one is the most challenging? Is the Sermon on the Mount even a realistic vision in our day and time? Why or why not? And what is one specific practical way you can embody salt and light in your life today? It's time for us to move into our hymn again today. And today's hymn is Be Thou My Vision, hymn number 49 in our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Once again, we chose this song for a reason. It matches, obviously, with the passage from today and this idea of us becoming the image of what the kingdom of God looks like those images from the civil rights movement, a vision of what should be and could be and will be. In the same way, we are called to be that vision of the kingdom of Jesus in the world around us. So Be Thou My Vision obviously overlaps and fits with that today. I also chose this because of our song leaders today. Our song leaders are some friends of mine, a band that is aptly named Meek Squad. So this band was started by my good friend Lee Anderson. I met Lee when he was a college student and a part of our local church ministry. Lee is a poet and a prophet, and it's kind of like if Bob Dylan and Joan Baez had a child who was then adopted by James Taylor and maybe discipled by St. Francis. All right, that's probably the best way to describe Lee. When I first met him, he was this optimistic, hopeful college student, like so many college students can be. And as we know, life has a way of kind of knocking that optimism and hope out of people. However, Lee's hope only seems to have deepened. It's so authentic and real that as I continue to see him in his life, it seems like it has just deepened and become more rooted than who he is. Lee is a deep soul. He is deep water. And I'm really honored to be his friend. Lee started this band with a couple of his friends named Siva Carroll and Sloan Meek. And Siva lives with cerebral palsy, and Sloan lives with cerebral palsy, blindness, and epilepsy. Both are inspiring advocates for people with disabilities. They have consulted and taught with medical and theology students at both the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and Duke University. And as you will see today, they both love to use their voices to point people to the hope of Jesus. So Lee, Siva, and Sloan are going to lead us today, and I want you to know that they beautifully embody the song that they're going to lead us in. And you will see that and you'll experience that. Jesus is their vision. Be thou my vision. Jesus is their vision. But in turn, they actually live as a vision of Jesus and the culture of his kingdom here and now. So here are my friends who are going to lead us in today's hymn, Be Thou My Vision. I'll see you here tomorrow again. And also, as always, I'll see you on the field.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
We are Meek Squad. This is Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou My Vision. sun.